Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara Chagiga Daf Chof Gimel. We begin on Chof Gimel Amud Aleph, seven lines from the top, with the words Mahi. Now, this is referring back to yesterday's share. We said that if a person was no say medrash, if he was holding on to a medrash, then he can't walk with Kodesh in his other hand if he has a barrel of Kodesh. But he could do so with Truma. And the reason we said why was because there was a Maisa Shahoya, and that Maisa Shahoya dealt with Kodesh and it didn't deal with Truma. And therefore, the additional rabbinical safeguard was only instituted for Kodesh and not for Truma. So Gemara says, whose opinion is that? Hamani, we said it's Rabbi Chananya ben Akavihi. His opinion specifically held the Omar, he told us in the case, Lo Osrael Beyardin Usvina, Ube Kamaisa Shahaya. It was only the decree that was added in this situation was exactly like it occurred in this situation with the Yardin and with the boat. And exactly like that happened, that was the only way that they instituted a gzeira. And now the Gemara is asking, Mahi, what exactly was that the gzeira that we should say that in our Mishnah too, that this Nosei Medrash was only talking about a situation where somebody once carried a sandal and it ripped and it ended up that this Medrash went inside the container and that was a chavis of wine and therefore it was only applicable by Kodesh and it wasn't applicable by Truma. Now, Mahi, what exactly was this Maisa with the Yardin and the Svina, the Tanya? We learned in the following Braisa. L'yisa alde mechatas ve'verchatas. Person is not allowed to Tanakami, he is in his Braisa, tells us, not allowed to go and carry the mechatas, the waters of the chatas, or the evrchatas, or the ashes of the paraduma, v'yavirem v'yardin u'besvina. Not allowed to take them on a boat that's crossing the Yardin. Likewise, v'lo yamod b'tzad zeh, you're not allowed to stand on one side of the Yardin, v'yizru kem l'tzad acher, and throw the mechatos or the efrachatos to the other side. It's in a container, and you throw it. The Yardin sometimes can be very narrow, very short, and you're going to throw it from one side of the Yardin to the other side of the Yardin. So therefore, that is not allowed. You're also not allowed to do that. Now that was not the Maisa Shahaya, but this Tana says we make a gzeira even for that as well. Likewise, don't float them across the water from one side of the Yardin to the other side of the Yardin. Likewise, you shouldn't ride on an animal through the Yardin, or have a person carry you on his shoulders, unless the person who's holding the mechatas or the efrachatas, unless your feet are on the ground. Otherwise, anyway, going across the Yardin that doesn't involve your feet being on the ground is not allowed to be done. This is a gzeira that the rabbis made. However, if there's a bridge over there, you can walk across the bridge, and that's allowed. That's not a concern. That's not going against this gzeira the rabbanan. And this is true not only for the Yardin, Echor Yardin, the Tanakhama says this rabbinical restriction that was added is true for the Yardin, but it's also Echor Shar Naharos. It's also true for all other Naharos. So the Tanakhama certainly is not of the opinion that it has to be exactly like the Maaseh Shoya. But here's what we introduce: Rechanani Ben Akavya Omer Lo Asu Ela BiYardin UBesvina UKeMaaseh Shoya. Here's what we have his statement that he said this additional restriction was only set up for exactly the same scenario that happened, that Maisa Shahaya, which involved the Yardin and the Svina. What exactly was that? Ma Maisa Shahaya? What was this situation? Dar Yudam Rav, Yudam Rav told us, Maisa Badam Echot, Shoyim Avi, Mechatos, Vevrachatos, Biyardin and Svina. One time there was a person that was carrying Mechatos and Evrachatos from one side of the Yardin to the other side of the Yardin, and he was doing this via a boat. And on the boat, the Nimsa, it turned out that there was a Kizayis mace. There was a significant amount of the mace, a Kizayis, which is able to be Matami. If you go over it, that's called one of the ways of Tumas Ohel. Or it could be where you have a roof on top of you and on top of the Tumas mace. Or it could be that you're Mahel over it with your body. Or that it's Mahel over you. And in this situation, the person who was carrying the Efrachatas and the Mechatas stepped over, went and was mahel over a kizayis of a mace that was tachuv, it was stuck, bikarko isa shel svina, in the bottom of the boat. And therefore, he was metame, the efrachatas, and the mechatas, and himself as well. And therefore, Bosu Shah, at that moment, the rabbis decreed, Amru lo yisa odo mechatas v'efrachatas v'yavirim v'yardim v'svina. Rabbi Chananya ben Akavi says, only in this exact scenario did the rabbis make a gzeira not to do this. And that is why our Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Chananya ben Akavi, that it's only that exact gzeira v'nifseka ritzua shosan lo, unetolo v'nich api chavis, v'nofel liyav v'chavis, v'nitneis. So in that situation, the rabbi said, bo'osu sha'omru, hanosi es emedrus, nosi es ha'truma, avalo es ha'kodesh. But they didn't allow this for kodesh, because that was the ma'isa shahaya. And this is based upon Rabbi Chanan Mekavi, who had the Yardin and Svina scenario with the Kizai said the Mesa was talking the Karko Isra Shul Svina. So only in that specific and exact scenario was the Gzeira done. Our Mishnah is in accord with Rabbi Chananya ben Akavi's opinion. Not like the Tanakhama said, it applies in other areas as well. They asked in the base matters the following series of shailus. Iboilu, they asked, sandal tome. Yes, we understand that the case where the sandal was tome, so then you're carrying a medrash, and that's when they said, don't carry it if you're holding it in your other hand, the chavish shoyayim. But what happens if it wasn't the sandal of a medrash, sandal tar, it was a sandal that was tar. It could become a medrash if the person wearing it was Azov, let's say, so it could become a medrash, but right now it's not. So what is the halacha? Are you allowed to carry something that has the potential to be a medrash, even though it's not a medrash right now? Mahu, what's the halacha? Similarly, chavis besucha. Obviously, if the barrel is open, so then the medrash could fall inside of it, go inside of it, and be metame the chavis on the inside. But that's clear, chavis besucha would be not allowed. But what happens if it was a chavis stuma, if the barrel was closed, and therefore it's not so easy for the medrus to get inside mahu? Did the rabbis institute the gzeir in that situation or not? Likewise, avar v'nasa, if the person didn't listen to this gzeir of the rabban, and he carried the medrus, and he carried the chavis shel yayin, let's say the chavis whatever, and it was sealed, and it did not become tamei, we know for a fact it did not become tamei. So do we say, mahu, in this situation, do we say that no, the rabbis made a gzeira, and therefore we view it as if it's tamei, even though it wasn't? Or do we say, no, the rabbis made a gzeira, but if it didn't, the fact will come tamei, so then it's not tamei. So here we have two different opinions. Rabbi Law says, imar v'venosu tamei, if you went and did this, even though you were not metamei the barrel, nevertheless we consider it tamei, because this was the gzeira. Rabbi Zira disagrees. Rabbi Zira, amar, if you didn't listen to the rabbis, okay, you're wrong for not listening to the rabbis. However, since it didn't, in fact, really become tamei, so then it remains tahar. Okay, that was the conclusion of that case, which was the nosei medrash. Now, the next case in the mishnah was kelim hanigmorim b'tahara v'chule. If you have utensils that were completed while they were in a state of tara, so we said for truma they don't require additional immersion, but for kodshim, for kodesh, they require additional tefillah in a kosher mikvah. So the Gemara asks, at what point were these kelim finished that they require this immersion midirabbanan, and is an extra stringency? The gamrinon man. So the Gemara says, ilemo de gamrinu chaver, if the person who finished it was a chaver, the person who was medaktik on tumah v'tara, so lamahu luhu l'tfilah, then why do you need this extra tefillah? Certainly, as soon as it became a utensil, as soon as it became a kli, he would be careful not to let anybody touch it, so then why should it need tefillah in a mikvah, even as a stringency? Mustn't it be elo de gamrinu amaretz? It must be that an amaretz was one that finished it off. So then, it's not a stringency. Then nigmorim b'tama kari luhu? Would you call it that it's finished with tahara? By definition, Am Aretz does not finish it off properly. We have to be concerned that he touched it himself, and that therefore it is tamei. So it's not a chumrah, that's the din. If an Am Aretz has been touching it, so then it has this tumah on it. And therefore, it's not a stringency that would be by kachim, it would be by truma as well. So Gemara says, Amar Rabba Bar Shila. Rabba Bar Shila says, Amar Rav Masda Amar Shmuel. Rabba Bar Shila says the name of Rav Masda, who said the name of Shmuel. In fact, Leolam, we're dealing over here, the Gamrinu Chaver. In fact, a Chaver finished it off. Aye. Normally we say a Chaver doesn't have to go and have it toveled. He was careful about it. The answer is, Mishum Tsinora di Amo Aretz. That we're dealing here with the Tsinora. Tsinora over here means the roke. It means the spittle of an Amo Aretz somehow touched it. As Rashi says, Shemonitas Allah roke vipi Amo Aretz. As the chaver was working on it, and Amoritz came by, and some of his spittle, some of his roke came upon this utensil before it was finished, and therefore that's why it's now tamei. So again, the Gemara says that doesn't make any sense. The nafalemas, when did it fall? Ilema mikame de ligmere. If it was the roke of the Amoritz landed on this utensil before it was finished, so then by definition it's not yet a kli. It can't be makabel tuma. Holab monoho. It's not a kli, and therefore it's not makabel tuma. So it must be that we're dealing over here. You know what? Elabar. After he had finished making the kli, that's when the Am Aretz spit on it by accident. So mitzah zarbu. But wait a second, the chaver would never let the Am Aretz get near it. So he would keep the Am Haaretz away so it wouldn't become Tame. So again, when did this happen? So Mor says, you're right. Leolam, in fact, indeed, Mikame de Gamre. The spittle of the Am Haaretz, the roke of the Am Haaretz, fell on this utensil before it was completed. Aye, then it's not Makabel Toma. So the answer is, with Dilma, we have to be concerned that maybe Be'idno de Gamre, at the moment that he finished it, so the roke had been on it for 15 minutes and it was still moist. And therefore, adayin lechohi, we have to be concerned that it still was moist. And as a result, in this situation, the rabbis were gozer that you have to go and be tovel it again. But they only said that you have to be gozer in this situation for kodesh and not for truma. Natigmar says, tevila in. You're required to do a tevila, but you don't have to wait. Heruv shemesh lo, but you don't have to wait for heruv shemesh. You just have to do a tevila, and then you can use it right away. So therefore, masnisin delo k'Rabbi Eliezer. It must be that our Mishnah is not in accord with the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. What is that? We'll see in a second. Because there's a Mishnah in Parah that would seem to say that Rabbi Eliezer holds that you must have Heruv Shemesh, and therefore you couldn't use it right away. What is that? That's not. We learned in that Mishnah, Shoferes. A Shoferes is a tube that they wanted to cut and make it into a utensil and place in it the Chatos, the ashes of the para aduma. So they want to put mechatos inside this utensil, this shvoferis, this tube. So what's the halacha? Rabbi Eliezer Omer, yitbol miyad. That you have to go and take this utensil. Before you put the mechatos in it, you have to go and immerse it. Yitbol, you put it in a mikvah, and then you can use it right away without Heruv Shemesh. Rabbi Yoshua Omer, yitame. You have to be matame it. Not that you just go and immerse in the mikvah. You are actually matame it with the sheretz. The achakach yitbol, and then you can go and be tovel it, and then you can use it right away. Now, what exactly is this machlokas? Bavinon bo, we asked over there on this machlokas, the chatoch oman. Who was the one that cut this shoferis, made this tube, that we're now talking about that you either have to immerse it according to Rabbi Eliezer right away, or according to Rabbi Yeshua, that you are metame it, and then you go and immerse it. You go and put it in the mikvah. So Gemara says, if a chaver was the one that cut this, so again, why does it need a tvila? The chaver is going to be very careful in Tumah and Taharah. He's going to make sure it doesn't come tame once it's a utensil, once it's a full shvoferes. So therefore, it shouldn't need tvila. Elo, it must be the elo the chachtocha amaretz. You can tell me an amaretz cut it. So then, b'hal lemar b'yeshua yitame b'yitbo. Would Yeshua say that you have to be matame it? Hotame the koi. It's already tame because it touched the amaretz. So it doesn't make any sense. Amar Rabba Bar Shila, Amar Rav Mas, Amar Shmuel. And on this, Rabba Bar Shila said, "Amar Mas, Amar Shmuel." That Liolam, the Chatocha Chaver. That we're actually dealing over here. That a Chaver was the one that caught it. Aye, then why does it need immersion in the mikvah? Why does it need a tefila? Umishum Tzinor the Amar. It's the same thing that we just had a moment ago, because the concern that the spittle of the Amaritz was on it. And we go through the same question and answer again. The Nafalemus. When did the spittle fall on the Shvoferes? Ilema Mikame de Lichatcha. If it fell on it before it was made into a utensil, so then. Lab manahu. It's not a kli and it's not makabel tuma. So even though the roke of the amaretz would make it tame if it was a kli, but here it's not a kli yet. Elo must it be the elo basar dechatocha? It was after it was already made into utensil. So then, if the chaver was the one that made it into utensil, so mizah zarbu, and he's not going to let the amaretz's roke get on it. So again, what is the concern here? So the Gemara says again, Le'olam mikame delechatcha. We're dealing here that the Amaretz put the spittle on it. He had, was talking with him, and some spittle came on it before it was made into a utensil, before it was cut. Aye, then it's not makabel tuma. But Dilma, we have to maybe be concerned, the idno dechatocha, at the moment that he went and cut this, and now you have a utensil, maybe a dayin lechuhi. Maybe the spittle is still moist, and therefore the spittle can go be metameit now. Now, what was this? We said this shows that our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Eliezer. Now we get to our punchline. How does this show that our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Eliezer? So Gemara says, Bishlam al Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua said, all you have to do is be matami it. You take a sheretz and you touch it, and then you can be tovel it and immediately use it right away. Oh, hainu de'iko hekeiro litztukin. This makes sense that why we're so strict. Why with the paraduma do we have this stringency? Because there was a famous opinion of the tztukin that was incorrect, that if the utensils or anybody working with the paraduma became tame with the tuma sheretz, so that they had to wait till nightfall. They had to have tvila, an immersion, and then they had to have wait till nightfall, heruv shemesh, before it could be used. But that's not the din. As Rashi brings down over here through various psukim, where it says, "V'lokach ezov v'taval b'mayim ish tohor." So what does it have to tell us? V'izoh ha-tohor afterwards on it. So it teaches that he was only tohor to a certain extent. He was tohor, and that he was a tfuah yom. He went to the mikvah after he had touched the sheretz, but he hadn't yet had hair of shemesh. And yet we dash for them sukim. Not like the tzedukin, but we darshan that in fact you're allowed to go and use this. So therefore, what we would do would want to lahotzi miliban shel tzedukin. We wanted them to be totally understanding that they're wrong. So therefore, the rabbis, according to Yeshua, would go and be metame every utensil with the sheretz, and therefore they would immerse it, and therefore it would be able to be used. Exactly like the pasuk tells us. It's not a bidyevet to use it. It's a lechatchila, you're allowed to use it. Albeit the tztukim say you're not allowed to use it. So this was lahotzi miliban shel tztukim. And what I just said can be seen in the following mishnah in Parah, where it tells us, metamah you as a kohen, as a parah. They would bedafka go even metame the kohen. They would touch him to a sheretz. So there is an opinion that says they didn't actually touch him to the sheretz. They made it look like they touched him to the sheretz. But the simple explanation is they actually touched him to a sheretz, and then he went to the mikvah. Now he's a tfuah yom, and he's allowed to go and do the rest of the sreifa sapara aduma. And they did this lahotzi miliban shel tzedukin, because the tzedukin held you not allowed to do this. They said you had to have hair of shemesh, shayomrim, b'mor v'shemesh, shayisunasis. They said the person had to not only go to a mikvah and be a tfuah yom, but he had to have hair of shemesh. So lahotzi miliban shel tzedukin, to show them that they were wrong, the rabbis b'davka were metamayim. Now, according to Rabbi Yeshua, everything makes very good sense, because there was a clear-cut hecker, because they would be metamayim with the sheretz. So anytime they would be metame something with the sheretz, so it would be clear that this would be the hecker that they didn't have to wait till nightfall. So Rabbi Yeshua is not a problem. El Rabbi Eliezer, according to Rabbi Eliezer, who said that they did not bedavka metami this shvoferes. Rabbi Yeshua said they were metami this shvoferes, that showed the tzedukim, because that clearly showed that it was tameh, and now that they're using it anyway, after he went to the mikvah, he's a tfuah yom, even before nightfall. But according to Rabbi Eliezer, so it only works out fine. According to Rabbi Eliezer, Iyamris b'shlomo b'almo bo'inon hair of shemesh. And if you say that Rabbi Eliezer always holds that you need hair of shemesh, so then it makes very good sense, because over here, Hainu dika akerulit stukin, here he says that you don't need the additional stringency of having hair of shemesh. It's enough that once the chaver cut it, and the chaver is going to immerse it over here, so we're doing that as a chumrah, and that's clear that lohotzi miliban shel tzedukin, because normally we require hair of shemesh, and here he doesn't. So you see that this is a just a straight out chumrah that they added on over here. Elo e amris bi alma lo boyin on hair of shemesh. But in general, if Rabbi Eliezer were to say that you don't require hair of shemesh, so then my hekeru l'tzedukinika. So then what heker would it be over here? He always says that after you complete making a utensil, that you have to immerse it, and it doesn't require hair of shemesh. So how would this be lahotzi miliban shel tzedukin? What would be the point over here if this was Rabbi Eliezer? So it must be, as the Gemara said originally, that our Mishnah does not go according to Rabbi Eliezer. But the Gemara says not necessarily so. Amar Rav, Rav says it could be even according to Rabbi Eliezer. We turn to Chav Gimel Amud Beis, because the rabbis made an additional gzeir over here, asua kitame sheretz. When you cut this shvoferes, as Rashi, top Rashi tells us, lo'olam bi'alma lo'boy hair of shemesh. In fact, Rabbi Eliezer holds that you normally don't need hair of shemesh. For kelim ha'nigborim b'tara, for something that's finished b'tara, it would normally be enough, according to Rabbi Eliezer, that you didn't have to go and have hair of shemesh, you just needed to immerse it in a mikvah. But here it's different. Afilu hachi ikah ha'kera. Here you have a difference, because lefish shoferes shochatos, in regards to the shoferes that's used for the parah aduma, a son ki'ilu nego b'sheretz. It's not a stringency over here that it is just considered something that is tomei, and therefore we're going and immerse it. It's as if it was tomei as a rishon, as if it touched the sheretz. Sheretz is the avatuma, and it makes it into a rishon. And therefore, linyan, minyan, rishon, visheni, that is an additional stringency here. Hilkach ilav the para nasis betula yom. If it wasn't for the fact that a para aduma is allowed to be done with a tful yom, ha'isot tzricha harav shemesh, then it would require harav shemesh, and therefore this was something that was known to the tzedukim, and therefore even according to our understanding of Rabbi Eliezer that he normally does require harav shemesh, here he would not, because this was an additional stringency just in regards to finishing off a keli. And they gave it the status of normally that it would require hair of shemesh as a tamei sheretz, but they didn't in regards to the para aduma. So this is a unique case, and it works out well according to Rabbi Eliezer. Now the Gemara says, Elam Yata, if this is true, lo tatami adam. So then a person shouldn't become tummy as well. But we learned in a brisa, alomo tanya chotcha umat bila tom tvila. So then if this is true, so then the person who cut it also requires tefillah. Now, why should this be? If you're telling me that we view the shroferes as it was touched by a sheretz, and therefore it's a rishon, so then a rishon cannot be metame, or the mekalim, a rishon can only be metame, ochlin umashkin. So how come the brisa says that chotcha, the person who cut it, he has to go and be tovel himself? So he has to go and immerse the shroferis, and then he also has to immerse himself. But if it's only considered as if it touched the sheretz, so then he shouldn't need tefillah. So that's a problem. So he says, you're right. Elo, the elo asur ki tamei meis. We gave this the status of being a tamei meis. And a tamei meis, so that can be metame even odom v'kelim. The Gemara doesn't like this either. The Gemara says, yihachi, if that's true, so then if the item, the shroferis, we gave the status of being tomei mei, so then not only is the person who cuts it tomei, but he's going to have hazah on shlishi and shvi, and on the seventh day after this, the second sprinkling of the mechatas, he's going to have to go to the mikvah, he's going to need harav shemesh, and then he'll be tar on the start of the eighth day, which is the night of the eighth day. So if that's really the case, what you're telling me, that we made it like asok tomei mei, so then ihachi tiboy hazah shlishi shvi. But why did we learn that in the Brisa? You don't. Because all it did was say, Chotcha umat bila, the person who cuts this shoferis, and he has to be tovel the shoferis, but he himself only needs tvila himself, ton tvila. But tvila in hazor shlishu shvilo, he doesn't require anything else. But according to what we just said, asur kitami meis, he should require as well to have the hazor on shlishi and shvi. So what's the answer? Shmuel says, you're right. El asur kitami meis, Bashvi Shalo. So they turned him into somebody that was a Tomei Meis. But on the seventh day, after the third and seventh day Hazor of the Mechatas, so now we view him as if he now is on that seventh day, and therefore that's why it's only that person has to go to the mikvah. It's Tomei Meis, that's why it became Tomei, and he just needs to go to the mikvah because we view him as if he had his Hazor on Shlishi Ushvi, and now all he needs is going to the mikvah. So Mar says that's also problematic. But Tanya, because we learned in another brisa, me'olam, in regards to the paraduma, they never, for all time, lo chichu davu b'para. They didn't make up a brand new din. They weren't mechadish a din by the para. For example, Rashi tells us, afa pish also bo milus harbe. They made many stringencies. Again, b'kishum ha'zilzul hazeh, shirim b'tam ha'koin ha'sor for lasos ha'tuyom, since they had this one leniency to lahotzi milibin shel tzedukim, to show that we're b'davka metame this koin under all circumstances with the sheretz. So since they made this one leniency, albeit that was the din, so they bent over backwards to have all these other chumras in regards to the para. Nevertheless, lo chitshu b'gzeros ma'aloseha, they didn't make up any new dinim in these milos that they did, these additional stringencies and gezeres that they did, they never made up a din. But if you're telling me that they made it like a tamei meis, that's a huge chiddush to make it like the seventh day of a tamei meis. So that can't be. Yes, it can, the Gemara says. Amar Abaye says, no. When the rabbi said, the Me'olam Lochichu Davu B'Para, Abaye says, Shelo Amru, they didn't make up a din that wasn't potentially possible. For example, Shelo Amru Kordom Mitame Moshav. A Kordom is either some sort of an axe or some sort of a hoe, a digging implement, a sharp digging implement. Shelo Amru, this Kordom is Mitame Moshav. It can't become a seat. It can't become something that a Zav is considered to sit upon and make it into a medrash. Why is that? Well, that's based upon the following brisa. Here, the Tanya, we learned in the brisa, by Yoshev ala Kli. Normally, if somebody who's a Zav sits on a Kli, so then that item that he sits on has to go and be immersed. That becomes a Avatumba, and it needs to have go into the mikvah, and Harav Shemesh comes, and then it becomes Tar. Now, Yachol kofor saw v'yoshav aleh. I might have thought that this is true for anything that he sits on. So if he sits on something that normally is a chair or a seat of some sort or a garment that he sits on it, so I might have thought that this applies to anything. including Yochel Kofa saw, there's a certain measuring container called a saw, the Yoshavale, and he sits on it. So imagine that you have a milk carton, a crate of soda, something like that, which is normally used to hold the milk or it's used to hold the soda, but you turn it upside down and now you sit on it. Kofa saw the Yoshavale. So I might have said, Yochel Kofa saw the Yoshavale, or if it's a tarkav. A tarkav is treyukav. It's a half of a saw. A saw has six kav in it, and this is a three kav, so it's a half of a saw container, again, that you turn over and sit on it, Yoshavale. So I might have thought, hey, Tomei, this should be Tomei Tumas Medrash. So therefore, that's not true. Talmud Lomar, the pasuk tells us, by Yoshev ala kli, asher yeshev olov yitma. If you sit on a kli that is normally meant to be sat upon, then it becomes Tomei with this tumah of the Medrash. Misha miyuchad li yeshiva, something that is specifically used for sitting. So if there's a chair, that's normally used for sitting. So it becomes a Medrash. As opposed to this saw container or this tarkav container, which isn't normally used for sitting. It's normally used to carry the item that you have in it, the milk or the soda or the wine, whatever. So yatzazeh, it comes to exclude from this din something, sha'omen lo, as if we say to this container, now get up the person off this container, amod v'nasim latenu, get up from sitting down on this milk carton or this soda carton that's overturned and let us use it in the normal function. So therefore, anything that is not normally used as a seat, and it's normally used to carry something, so you have to, so to say, tell the guy, get off it so we can use it in a normal way of business, so that is not makabel tumas medrash. So you can't make up a din over here and say that now something should be makabel tumas medrash that is never used as a seat. And that's why the rabbi said that you can't innovate a din in regards to paraduma. But something which could be makabel tumah, the odom or the utensil could be makabel tumah, so to say that we give it an additional stringency, for example, to say that the person who cuts it has to go to the mikvah himself, oh, that's because it was, we view it as if it was a matami with an ava tumah, with a mace, and therefore we view it as if it's on the seventh day, since he could become tame from such a tumah, so it's not a stretch to make this additional stringency in this situation. Therefore, everything is reconciled according to Rav. Our Mishnah could even be going according to Rabbi Elezer. It certainly goes in accord with Rabbi Yoshua. That concludes that little sugya, very tough sugya. Now we're going to the next thing in the Mishnah. We said, Akli mitzarif mashe v'tochel l'kodesh v'lola truma. The Mishnah told us that if you have some sort of a utensil, you have some sort of a tray that has a base kibble, so it's a tray that has a lip around it, you have a big aluminum tin, and you go and put various items in it. You put 10 challah rolls in it, and if a person who's tamei touches one of the challah rolls, so by this additional din of the kli mitztarif, masha besocho, so all of the challah rolls become tamei, but that's only in regards to kodesh, avolola truma, but not in regards to truma. So we start off by saying, whose opinion is this? Minohani mili. How do we know this? So Amar Rabbi Chanan says, Rabbi Chanan holds that this is a din daraisa. He says it's based upon the pasuk where it tells us kafachas azaro zohav meliokitoris, famous pasukim that we have from Parshas Noso, which we have the Nesiim, and it says that each one of the Nesiim they brought kafachas, a single ladle, but weighed a certain amount azaro zohav, and it was filled up with kitoris. So why does it use this lashon kafachas? Just say kaf. It's an azaro zohav. Why does it say achas? So akos of asol l'chol mashel bekaf. Achas. So this is to teach us that everything in this kaf is all halachically considered as one entity, even though there are multiple different little pieces in it, we can view it as one halachic entity. And therefore, that's where we get this idea that a kli is mitzarif mashe v'soch l'kodesh. So Rabbi Chanan seems to say that this is a din d'oraisa. Most of Rav Kahana questions this, and he says, really? We have another Mishnah. This Mishnah is a Mishnah in Edios. The beginning of the Mishnah, which we'll quote in a moment in the Gemara, tells us that Rabbi Shimon ben Beseira testified, hey, Rabbi Shimon ben Beseira, that al eper chatos, if you have the ashes of the paraduma in a container, shenoga atomei b'mitzosu, and a tomei person only touched some of the ashes in that container, he's matamei timei eskulo, he's matamei all of the ashes of the paraduma. That's the reisha of this Mishnah. And now, we'll talk about that in a moment, but now we get to the part that comes next to that Mishnah, Hosif Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva added on to what Rabbi Shimon Becerra said. Now, the question that Rav Kahana is asking here is, isn't the din of Rabbi Shimon Becerra a din de Rabbanan? And if Rabbi Akiva is coming to add on to it, Rabbi Akiva is also talking about a din derabanan. So how can Rav Chanan say that it's a din deraisa? That's the overview of the question. Now let's see it inside. So also Rabbi Akiva to this din derabanan of Rabbi Shimon ben Beseira, that the same law applies that a kli is mitzarev hasoles, finely sifted flour, vaktores, incense, valavona, the frankincense, vagacholim, and the coals. So all of those are considered also, if a person was tummy, touched one of them, all of them in this container are all considered to be tummy. Shem noga, tul yom, bimitzasu, if a tul yom touched any part of them, pasal as kula, all of them, they're considered to be mitzarev through this utensil, and it's as if the tul yom touched every single one and made them tummy. Now, clearly, Rabbi Akiva's din is a din derabbanan. We want to suggest, Rabbi Kana wants to suggest. For the rabbanan he, because, mimai, why is it the rabbanan? Because the reisha was clearly me the rabbanan, me the klani reisha. This is what I read to you a moment ago. Hey, Rabbi Shimon Beseira testified, this is a mission in Edios, these are many testimonies, there are many edus that are the Tanoim give to tell us what the din was. And he testified, Rabbi Shimon Beseira said, that Efer Chatas, Al Efer Chatas, Shinoga HaTomi B'Mitzoso, this Efer Chatas, that if a person touched part of it, Tul Yom touched part of it, so all of it is Tomei, Shetimei is Kulo. Now, that is definitely a din derabanan, because there is no pasuk that talks about this by paraduma. You only have this by the solas, by a korban mincha. So therefore, this cannot be a din deraisa. So clearly, Rabbi Shimon ben Beseira is talking about a din derabanan. And then we said, Uktani, host of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva added on, the solas, the Doris, the Lavon, and the Gecholim, we also have the same din. If the base din of Rabbi Shimon ben Beseira was clearly a din derabanan, so then if Rabbi Akiva is Moseph on it, that also must be a din derabanan. That's Rav Kahana's question. How can you, Rav Chanan, say that this is a din deraisa? So instead of Rav Chanan answering, Amar Reish Lakish Yishun Bar Kapara, Reish Lakish answered this in the name of Bar Kapara in the following way. We turn to Chav Dalet Omud Aleph. Rabbi Akiva was not adding on to the din derabanan of Rav Shimon ben Beseira. Lo Nitzucha, Rabbi Akiva was adding on, Ella L'Shiyare Mincha. He was talking about the din of a Karban Mincha. You have the Shrayim. Your normal Karban Mincha that Yisrael brings is brought in a container that sanctifies the entire Karban Mincha. But then you have to take off a Kmitza. The Kmitza is put into another container, and that has Hagosha. You bring it towards the Mizbeach, and you sacrifice the Kmitza onto the Mizbeach. And the remainder of a Karban Mincha of Yisrael is eaten by the Kohanim. That's called the Shiyare Mincha. Now, the Shiyare Mincha are not going to be all combined together because they don't need a kli. So, read the Gemara. Daraisa, sorich lekli, hakli mitzarfo. This din, which is a din daraisa, Rav Chanan told us, is a din daraisa, kafachas, is true. But it's only a din daraisa for something that requires to be in a kli. So, for example, the kmitza has to be put into a kli shareis, and that has to be brought and put on the Mizbeach. So therefore, if a Tul Yom were to touch any part of it, so the Kli would be mitzarefit on a Daraisa level. But She'ein Tzarech L'Kli. Once you take off the Kmitza, so that the Shiyari Mincha doesn't need a Kli anymore. You can just take it and put it onto the floor. You can put it onto anything, an item that doesn't have a base kibble. And you can eat it, and it wouldn't be mitzarev. If a tummy person were to go and touch part of it, it wouldn't be mitzarev to all the other parts. Ain kli mitzarefo, because you don't need a kli. And therefore, hosif Rabbi Akiva, v'asu rabbanon, v'gozru, the rabbis came along and were gozer, adin the rabbanon, on the other items, like the shiori mincha, the afal gadei notzorech l'kli, kli mitzarefo. Even though it doesn't need the kli, since it's a kli, in a kli, then if a tummy person touched part of it, he's metami the whole thing. Oh, that is what Rabbi Akiva is being posted on, but the basic thing is a din deraisa, like Rabbi Chanan said. Rabbi said, that's great. That answers one part of what Rabbi Akiva said. He was mosif solas. So in regards to the solas, tenach solas, but he also was mosif two other items, the ketores and the levona. Now, they do require a kli shareis. The ketores must be in a kli shareis, and the levona must be in a kli shareis. So how can Rabbi Akiva say that this is a din derabanan? Because it's a kli, it's an item, she'ein tzarech l'kli, ain kli mitzarfo. These do require kli. The ketores and the levona do require kli. So my klamemer. So Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Ravua. Rav Nachman says the name of Rabba Ravua. Kegon shet sivaren agave kartavla. That they put it on something that does not have a lip around it. Now, what is this kartavla? So Rashi tells us, kartavla is an or shaluk. It's like a leather sheet. And therefore, it doesn't have a lip to it. It doesn't have a base kibble to it. So on a deraisa level, yesh lo toch mitzarif. Ein lo toch, ein lo tzarif. Only a kli that has a lip around it, has a base kibble, can be mitzarif, all the things inside of it. But on a deraisa level, even though we say kaf achas, Rabbi Chanan's din, if it doesn't have a lip around it, if it doesn't have a border around it, so then ein lo toch, there is no base kibble, it's not mitzarif, ein lo mitzarif. Oh! So for the Lavona and the Ketoris, you could put it on a leather spread and it would still be okay. The rabbis came along and said, the afogad the ein lo toch. Rabbi said, even though it doesn't have a toch, nevertheless, it is mitzdarif. Oh, that's the din the Rabbana that Rabbi Akiva added. So according to our understanding now, we were able to justify Rabbi Chanan's understanding that this is a din daraisa. However, upliga the Rechanan ad Rabbi Chichia bar Abba. This understanding of Rabbi Chanan is in disagreement with that understanding of Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. What did Rabbi Chiya bar Abba say? Damar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba said the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Meidusu Shur Rabbi Akiva, from the testimony that Rabbi Akiva gave, Nishnis Mishnah Zu. That's what this Mishnah in Edios is teaching us, that it's all a din d'rabbanan. Not like we just went through a couple of steps to show that Rabbi Chanan could still be a din d'oraisa in accord with this Mishnah. But no, the simple understanding of this Mishnah disagrees with Rabbi Chanan, and that is from Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, that this is all a din d'rabbanan. When Rabbi Akiva was Mosif, is Mosif onto the din d'rabbanan, and therefore that is the other understanding, that this is all a din d'rabbanan. With this, we conclude today's shiur.